Welcome everyone to Sunday with the Skies. We're glad you could join us today. This is, of course, a great celebration week here on Prince Edward Island. This day marks the winter carnival on Prince Edward Island. There's not that many people who can enjoy a winter carnival in the middle of March. And it's one of the distinctions that cause us to greatly rejoice in living on Prince Edward Island. So if anybody is missing having a winter carnival toward the end of March, please feel free to come up and visit us and join in with the festivities. So it has snowed nonstop for the last 2 weeks almost. So we've got about 5 feet of snow out in the front yard, and we had an ice storm that covered the trees with about an inch of ice for the whole week and just stayed there. And it was absolutely the most beautiful thing that we've seen here. It was wonderful, and it stayed. It was so beautiful. So if anybody wants to come up and see these splendors, please feel free to drop us a line and come up and visit if you'd like. Anyway, we're going to get right here onto the business of the day, which is to seek the Lord with all of our hearts, to seek Him with all of our hearts so that we become Christians indeed, not just in word. So let us seek the Lord today and ask for His blessing. Lord Jesus, I thank You for each of that is gathered here today. I praise You for each one, O Lord God, and I thank You that they are gathered here today because You have specifically put Your touch on their life, and You have specifically called them, O Lord God, and they feel the call, and they desire a closer relationship with You and a closer walk with You. And that's why we're here gathered today. And so I praise You for each one that is tuned in today and ask that You would give them a great portion of blessing today, that You would cause the river of life to flow into each heart, O Lord God, and the joy of the Lord into each countenance, and that You would cause a great infilling, a blessing to be upon each one, Lord God, and a great overcoming spirit, a great overcoming spirit that we might walk with victory this day and this week, O Lord God, that we would walk in victory with You, that You would strengthen us, that we might be true sons and daughters of the living God. We praise You for this time. We ask You to greatly bless it, and we ask that it would be You who would speak, Lord, and not me, because You are the one that has the words of life. So please bless this time to the nourishment of all of our souls, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're doing a series on subduing the passions of the flesh, based on Isaiah chapter 9. So let's just read Isaiah 9 again because it is so inspiring. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation and increase their gladness. They will be glad in Thy presence, as with the gladness of harvest. You know, that's what we want to get to, isn't it? We want to have the joy of the gladness of harvest. And what we're going through and what we're outlining is the quickest and the shortest path to having gladness in God's presence as in the harvest. And so, though it is sometimes it is a painful, it's a painful journey, and it can be humiliating, but the fruit of it is, it leads to a closeness with God that will cause the joy of the Spirit to overflow your face and cause all your friends and your neighbors to wonder what you have been drinking. And you can say, I've been drinking from the well. I've been drinking the water of life. And they will know that it's true. They will know that it's true because it will show on your face just as it did in Moses' face when he came down from the mountain. For a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so this great promise is that the kingdom of God will increase. It will increase, it will expand, it will grow, that the powers of hell will not prevail against him, that nothing the devil can do is going to thwart the increase of God's kingdom. Like over in China, just 70 years ago, a few lone missionaries went into that country that was full of all forms of paganism. And now, because of God's promise, the increase has come, and now there's 100 million Christians in China, way more than in the United States. And in Canada, people who love God, it's because there is no end to the increase of his government. And as we await the wonderful day when he comes and all wickedness is eradicated from the earth, all wickedness will be gone. There will be not a sign of perversion left. None, not any. Every bit of violence, all forms of perversion will be gone from off the earth, and the Lord Jesus will reign in righteousness. Hallelujah, come Lord Jesus. And while we await that day, praise God, he has already established another kingdom. There's two kingdoms which God has instituted and begun. One of them is a physical kingdom, which is being established but is yet to be revealed. And the other is an invisible kingdom, which has been established. And though we can't see it with physical eyes, it is absolutely as real as the physical kingdom of Jesus will be. It's an internal kingdom of God subjecting his people to his government. His government in this season is to increase in his people, inside of them. And so he is the king and we are his subjects. And that means he becomes our king as we subject ourselves to his will. As we subject ourselves to the Lord, his government increases in us. His government increases in the world. His government increases wherever there is a single person, one lonely person who says, Lord God, rule my life. Boom, the government of God increases, and now it goes forth and it affects everybody around them. And so ours, that when we have a proper understanding of the Word of God, we understand that Christianity isn't this wonderful feel-good philosophy where God brings all of our dreams to pass. Praise God, ultimately he will bring our dreams to pass. But that's not what it's all about. The nuts and bolts of Christianity is the hard labor of laying down our will so that we would become subjects of the king. So that we become subjects of the king, not just the population. We're not just the population of the king. We want to be subjects of the king. That means we subject ourselves to him and we allow him to begin to tame the unruly aspects of our life. And as we mentioned the last few weeks, society is to understand that the wild impulses and the urges that we have and the selfish desires, these are all things that are to be trained out of us, and that we become mature as we learn self-control. That's what maturity is. It's learning to have control over our impulses. And so now, instead of having any controls, those controls have been removed, not only in society, but even in church, where we're taught to just let it all loose and to give in to every impulse. And that's why we have people making manifestations of falling on the stage and flopping around like a fish. It's just giving in to the uncontrollable impulses that God intends and has designed to subject. You see, so we are causing to grow, and we're indulging in the very things which the Lord is trying to subject. So you can see how far away we've come, how contrary the philosophy of man has become from the Word of God, how far it is deviated, so that we're actually doing the very opposite of the thing that God wants us to do. As we mentioned last week, God is raising up sons and daughters of the King, that He is raising up people who would live in self-control and in dignity, who would be fit rulers for His coming kingdom, those who would rule with dignity and with grace. And so that's the true work that God has given for us to do. And so now that the restraints have been taken off of us, and both in our teaching and in our schools and in our society, so that now we can't look to our parents, we can't look to our teachers, we can't look to our institutions of any sort. We just can't look to them because they are enabling our passions to be inflamed rather than to be subdued. And so we have no help there. So now we have to run to God instead. And so the state of affairs now is, well, let's just take a teenager. Teenager runs into the room, kisses her mom on the cheek, says, "I love you, Mom." And then she heads out the door to do all the things, everything that would break her mother's heart is where she's going when she closes the door after she's just told her mom she loves her. She's going out to break her heart. And so the stage of so many of us as Christians is the same. We give the Lord a kiss and we say, "I love you, Lord," as we're on our way. We just give him a cursory hello, "I love you," as we're on our way to fulfill all the things that are contrary to him and that are offensive to him, and it will break his heart when we indulge in them. Just the very fact that we do everything except spend time with him, that's enough to break his heart, let alone the very things that we're engaged in. And so now, we say, "I love you, Lord," but our actions betray what's in our heart. Just like that teenager, when they walk out the door, they show what's really in their heart, and they're destroying their mother and the parents. And so now, when we are given a choice to spend time with the Lord and to delight in His company, and we have the pleasure, the distinct pleasure sitting before us of spending time with our Heavenly Father, or we have the opportunity to spend some time in some low form of entertainment, something that's low and degrading in every way, we will always pick the low and the degrading. We'll always pick it. We'll always pick it. We will always turn to the thing that's not God. Instead of spending time with Him, we will always run. It doesn't matter how low it is, or how disgusting it is, or how mindless it is. It's mindless. It doesn't matter. We'll always choose it over God. You see, the devil is always wanting to make us to be mindless. He's wanting us to be stupid. He's wanting us to be couch potatoes. He's wanting us to be passive. He's wanting the creatures which God has created for His glory in His image. And He wants to reduce them to less than animals. He wants to reduce them to passivity and a low mentality, that when we speak, we say things which are so offensive to God because our mentality is low. Let me explain that. I'm not talking about us speaking with profanity. I'm talking about us having conversations which are so low, which are so far from becoming to the children of God, that He finds it revolting. And that's the devil. That's the devil's plan, is to fill our heart, our mind, our eyes, our ears with pastimes that reduce our mentality, so that our conversation and our thoughts are as low as they can get. That's the devil's plan. That's why our entertainment is always going down. It's because the principality and the powers of the air run those all that whole entertainment industry, and there's a mastermind behind it. It just doesn't happen. It's a mastermind behind it, which is to bring forth something that looks good, and then just once you grab people, to just bring them down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And so now, it's not only the world at large, which has a mentality that's very low, but all the people of God who do not do this, what we're talking about today, who do not subject themselves to the government of God, they are also, with the majority, just going down and down and down and down and down and down, so that our conversation, our thought, our words, everything that we think is very low, unbecoming to children of God. And so God wants to raise us up. He wants to raise us up to become true sons and daughters of God, of the living God. And so He stands before us and He entreats us to come before Him and to spend time with Him. And instead of us coming, we say, "Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." And then we run out and we do some low pastime that is against Him, and we won't spend time with God. Case in point, did you know that to honor the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments? I know, it's almost unbelievable, isn't it? We've come so far we don't even remember it's in the Bible. But it is. And it's a day. It's a day set aside to be with God. And I love to talk about this because this is what transformed my life. Because, you see, I met the Lord and I was full of the zeal of God and I loved the Lord. But the all of the input of the world began to wear me down, to where I began to lose that cutting edge, and I began to lose the passion of God and the love of God. And one day God brought that promise, that scripture to me, and that word, that we are to honor the Lord's day. And I said, "Wow, that's an interesting idea. I wonder what would happen if you started doing that." And so I began to set aside the day to spend time with God. And I just, in the afternoon, I just pull out a godly book, the Bible, or some inspiring book, and I begin to enjoy God's presence. And as I began to obey God's word of honoring the Sabbath, I started to feel the river of living water start to flow in me again. And from that time forth, I have never had dryness. And that's been way more than 20 years since I started doing that. Just in that one tiny area, that's how much God blessed. As I began to obey in that one tiny area, God greatly blessed it. And so you see, God wants us not only to say, "I love you," He wants us to prove that we love Him. You see, anybody can say, "I love you, God," and millions do. But their actions say that they don't. And so, if we want to actually prove to God that we do love Him, or we want to start loving him as we should, all we need to do is start to obey him, to actually obey him so that it actually changes our behavior, so that we actually make a move and we turn off the deadening elements in our life and we begin to spend time with God. Now that's somebody that is proving that they love God, because they're beginning to it's beginning to affect their actions. And that is where the rubber meets the road. That's the real element of Christianity. It's that we actually obey him. And you notice that in the Gospels, everything about the Lord, everything the Lord instructed himself was, if you love me, obey me. So we know this is very close to the heart of God. It's because he doesn't want Christians in name. He wants Christians in deed. So he wants to be like the parent whose teenager comes in, says, I love you, Mom. Then she goes out on the porch, and then she says to her friends, I'm sorry, I can't go with you because where you're going is not approved by my mother, and I'm going to stay home. Well, that is a child that is really bringing joy to the heart of the parents, isn't it? And, I mean, it will bring joy. As soon as the parent gets up off the floor from their dead faint, they will have joy because the child actually obeyed. The child actually did do the thing that the parent wanted out of obedience. And that is such a beautiful thing, and it's such a rare thing. It's such a beautiful and a rare thing. And that is what God is trying to cultivate in us, people who will actually work on those things and work to obey. He knows, thankfully, he knows we're weak. He knows we're going to be stumbling. Praise God, he's not standing over us with an axe. But he does want us to make effort toward obedience. Obedience to what? What are we supposed to obey? Well, the subjection of all of our lustful passions and the casting down of every idol in our life, which will probably give us enough to work on to start with. What's an idol? An idol is anything that takes precedence over God in our life. That's big, isn't it? Anything that takes precedence over God. That means anything that we trade God for becomes an idol. Everything we trade God for is like an idol and needs to be brought down. Now, of course, you can ignore that. You don't have to do it. But the result is that the river of life begins to dry up in you and your relationship with God becomes distant. Okay? So no one here in the hearing of my voice has to do these things. It's a matter of whether we want to have the joy of the Lord in our life or not. Because if we trade the living God for anything of this world, doesn't matter what it is, could look as healthy as could be, like, what's wrong with the game on Sunday? Well, it's not God. It's not God. It might not be overtly bad, but the commercials are overtly bad. Overtly. They're overtly bad. And so instead of spending time with the Lord, honoring the Sabbath, we are doing something else. Something else. Well, you can do it, and God's not going to chop off your head. And I'm not going to do anything. I can't. Well, I can make you feel uncomfortable, which is my job, like, as you know from last week. But and it's my job because I want you to be filled with joy. It's because I want you to be filled with joy. I want you to make a step of obedience to do the thing which God has said, so that you might experience the awesome joy that comes from obeying God. Nobody who has not obeyed God like that could even understand the joy I'm talking about. It's a joy that comes from self-denial and from putting the flesh to death to walk after the Lord. When you obey God, simply to obey Him, the result is joy. An awesome joy. And so I say these things to encourage you to do the hard thing and to find out that the reward is well worth it. Now, once we have all these things well in hand, well under control, we've got all of our passions subdued, we've got all our idols cast down, now God wants to bring it to another level. There's another level? Yes, there's another level. God wants to bring it to another level because though God really loves obedience, and though we really prove His love by being obedient, that is a wonderful thing. But external obedience is only a small step in the right direction. Because a king can subdue his country with force and they can all obey him, but that does not necessarily by any means mean that they love him. And Satan's kingdom works like that. Satan makes everybody obey him, but there's not anybody in hell who loves the devil. He is hated by everyone from his top minion all the way down to his lowest. He's hated by them all. And so an external compliance does not necessarily mean that we love the Lord. Let's go back to the example of the teenager. The teenager can go out to the porch and say, I can't go with you. My mother doesn't want me to go, and I can't go. And then they don't go. They've obeyed. But if that child goes down to the porch and says, I'm sorry, I can't go, because this would offend my mother, and I don't want to do anything to hurt her or to deceive her, and so I'm going to stay home. And I'm glad to stay home because I don't want to do anything to hurt her. Now in that example, they have actually caused the parent to probably die, because they have fulfilled not only the letter but the heart of the law. They have done something out of obedience because they want to. Because they want to. And so this is the very transforming element which God wants to bring into our life. And that is, we don't have to obey God. We get to. We get to obey God. We're allowed to. We're enabled to obey God. We get to obey God. And that is the joy of victory. That is the victory that we get in God. We don't have to obey Him. We get to obey Him. That's exactly the wording that we see over here in Isaiah 58. Amazingly enough, this is a good example for this particular area. As it says here in Isaiah 58 regarding the Sabbath, He's not saying, oh, you have to spend time with me. You have to set aside time with me. And then we say, oh, I have to spend time with God. No, He says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways and from your own words, and take delight in the Lord, then I will make you to ride on the heights of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If we call the Sabbath a delight, now we're pleasing the heart of God. We don't have to turn away from those other distractions. We get to spend time with God. And so when we make that inner transition to enjoying the things of God and enjoy and delight in obeying Him, now we have made the transition and become sons and daughters of light. By this you shall know that you love the Lord, if you obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. That is when you know you have made the transition. When you enjoy obeying, and when you delight in obeying the Lord, and when you look through His law to make sure that you're not disobeying Him, and it becomes your pleasure, that is when you know you have made a serious transition. You have made it past a serious corner, and you are pleasing to God. You have become one in 10,000. If the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome but a delight. If you look forward to Sunday, because on Sunday you can lay aside all of the great worries of the week, all of the pressing matters of the bills and the news, and we just push it aside. We say, thank you, Lord, for making this day that I can just spend time with you, be refreshed in my soul, enjoy your company. My goodness, when you've done that, you have learned to love the Lord. You have learned to love the Lord when you look forward to being with Him. When you look forward to obeying Him, when you delight in obeying God, you have made the transition and you have become the bride of Christ. You've become the bride of Christ. You're no longer an armchair Christian. You're no longer a cursory Christian. You're no longer a Christian in word. You're a son of God. You are a son of God. You have made the transition. And so that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. That's why we're here today. Is we want to make that transition. We want to turn that corner. We want to start putting feet to our prayers. We want to start actually becoming sons and daughters of God. Indeed and not in just word. And so, I want to greatly and strongly encourage you to seek after the Lord in these areas. Now, how do we do this? Impossible. It's not possible. You know, because these things, we all enjoy them. What could be more fun than watching the game on Sunday? What could be more fun than that? How can you deal with that, right? Well, we all have to deal with the same things, right? How do we deal with it? We can't do it in the flesh because our flesh loves everything in the world. And so, it always comes down to this fine point. It always comes down to this point. The point is honest confession. Honesty before God and doing nothing more than saying, Lord God, He did it to me again. I'm convicted again. Lord, I can't stop. I can't stop myself. I love these things. They don't seem bad. But Lord, I want to obey you in deed as well as in word. So please help me. It's all it takes. Lord, please help me. That's all it takes. The honesty and the repentance and asking for God's help is all it takes to get your feet right on the path that leads to becoming a true son and daughter of God. That's all it takes to become like Daniel, a man greatly esteemed by the Lord. All it takes is the honesty of going before the Lord each day and confessing your shortcomings. And you may fall 10,000 times. You may watch the game for the next 40 weeks in a row. I just pick on that because that's just one easy example, but we all have all of the things that are our passions, don't we? We're all different passions. It could be our car, it could be our job, it could be our shopping, it could be our alcohol, it could be our relaxing, it could be anything. It could be a million different things. So I'm not just picking on the game. I'm picking on all the things that distract us from God. And every one of them has to be dealt with. In order to drink from the well of living water, all of them have to be dealt with. They do not have to be utterly conquered before you can drink the well of living water. No, the well, drinking from the well begins the moment that we confess anything which has taken preeminence over God in our life. The minute we confess it to God, we begin to drink living water. That living water, that taste of living water that God gives us when we repent and when we say, Lord, I know I need a change and I really do want to walk after you. The minute we confess, God gives us that water, and that water is so refreshing that it enables us to start seeking more of it. And after we do that for a period of time, drinking living water starts becoming really a delight. And everything else starts to become really dull. And so the people who really spend time with God a lot, they don't have to. They're enjoying that time with God. They're drinking rivers of living water, and they can't stop. You think about George Whitefield. He'd be up for 3 or 4 days praying straight, nonstop, outside in the cold, kneeling in the sand on the beach in England in the winter. And he would come away radiant with joy. Radiant. He wasn't there because he had to be. He was radiant with joy. See, because he learned the secret of drinking living water. So anytime that we set aside something of the flesh to spend time with God, we are drinking living water. And that living water is going to refresh us, and it's going to cause us to start wanting more and more and more. And pretty soon, everything else will start to fall by the wayside. But it all starts with that little tiny step of saying, Lord God, please help me. Please help me to walk after you in a way which is pleasing to you. And if you do that, if you just take that little step, even telling the Lord, I don't know how I can do it. I don't even want to give this stuff up. But if you just say, Lord, I want to try. Please help me. That's good enough. That begins the process. It begins the work. Begins the great work of your transforming into a truly victorious son and daughter of the King. And that's a very exciting thing. This is a very exciting path that we're on. It's very exciting to be here with you today and to see the growth, because we're seeing people starting to grab hold of the truth of God, the truth of the gospel, and spending time with the Lord. And we're starting to see wonderful and exciting things. And so we're so glad to be with you today. And let's just ask the Lord's blessing on each, all of this. Lord God, we just pray that you grant us the increase of joy, because the second half of that same verse, Lord, is that there would be no increase to your peace. And so, Lord, as your government grows in us, so does your peace. And we become filled with a peace that is unearthly, that is unnatural, that is not based on our circumstances. It is a peace which passes understanding. And it comes from your government in our life. And so, Lord, we pray that your government might be increased, that you will fulfill this promise to us in Isaiah 9, that there will be no end of the increase of your government in our lives, Lord God. Cause us to grow in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I hope you have a wonderful week with the Lord. And seeking him whenever you can, whenever you can take time, take your Bible to work with you, whenever you have a break, when you're driving, pop in a worship CD, or better yet, just lift your thoughts to God, turn off the radio, begin to pray when you're stuck in traffic, begin to enjoy God's presence while you're sitting there. It's a very practical way of spending extra time with God. A lot of people commute a half an hour a day each way. Use that time to get close to God, and your drive will suddenly become your most desirable part of the day. So it's a great thing. Let me remind you about Revival PEI. July 24th through August 2nd this year. Come up and stay with us if you can. Come to stay and pray. Enjoy our fellowship of fellow believers. Enjoy our beautiful island. Spend the days exploring the island. And then at night, we join together to pray and to seek the Lord. So please give us a call. It's 902-886-3320. Or go to our website, The Sky Family Lodge, or theskies.org. And or if you can come up for a day or 2 days or 10 days or 20 days, or come for the whole summer if you want, it'd be great to see you. Have a great week. We love you.